The next thing we see that he's a God of grace. He's a God of grace. And what is grace? Grace is the God shows goodness towards those who don't deserve it. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. My name is Sonia Hall. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Knowing God, Part 3. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Knowing God, Part 3.
That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost and now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Save the wretch. What is a wretch? A wretch is a low-down, dirty scoundrel. What is a wretch? It's a slave trader who's hated. What is a wretch? It's a man who was of low character. What is a wretch? It's a man who cussed for 2 hours. What is a wretch? It's a man who said that I want to fill my life with sin. Amazing grace. The grace of God reaches down and pulls us up out of the muck and the mire of sin. And as I seek to know God, if not every day, on a regular basis, I ought to be loving God and praising him for his grace. Lord, I remember growing up in Braddock and all the things that I did apart from you. I was lost and undone without God or his son. And I lived my life for myself and I balled my fist up and I shook it in your face and said, I don't want to have anything to do with you. And you extended your grace to me. And you saved me. Have you known God through his grace? Have you just sat for a moment? And what is grace? It's God's goodness towards those who don't deserve it. And if we were to take a poll in here this morning and ask who in here deserves the grace of God, if you raise your hand, 1 John said you're a liar. None of us deserves the grace of God. But he gives it to us because of his love for us. And sometimes we just need to stop. And we need to think about this journey of life that we're on. And we need to think about where we've been and how that God sustained us, how he walked with us, how he guided us and directed us, and how he saved us. There's a whole lot of things that I'm excited about, but I will say the greatest thing that I'm excited about is my salvation. Because I know that when I close my eyes in death, I'm going to wake up in the presence of the Lord. There was a time in my life that every night when I went to bed, I would pray the prayer that I was taught as a child. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now, again, notice the uncertainty in that prayer. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul should take. Now when I go to bed at night, I say, now I lay me down to sleep. Lord, if I die, I know I'm going to wake up in your presence. And it's all because of the grace of God. The songwriter said, wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus. Deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Higher than a mountain, sparkling like a fountain. All sufficient grace for you and me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions. Greater far the in all my sin and pain. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus. Praise his holy name. The grace of God. The next attribute that we want to look at today is God's mercy. God's mercy. And God's mercy is the pity and compassion that he shows to those who are in need. Psalm 86 and verse 13 says, "For great is your mercy towards me." Oh, I love the song when we sing that song. Great is your mercy towards me. Loving kindness I see. God's mercy is not small. It's not cheap. The psalmist said, "Great is your mercy toward me." Well, how do we translate that into knowing God? There are many times that I find myself in trouble. Whether it is my fault or somebody else's fault. And God shows me mercy by delivering me. I don't deserve to be delivered. I don't deserve to be set free, but God shows me mercy because this is in his very nature. It is ingrained in the nature of God to show mercy, to show pity and compassion toward those who are in need. There was a man in Napoleon's army that had committed an offense that was worthy of death. And the man's mother came and pleaded with Napoleon to spare his life. And she asked for mercy. She said, "Can you show my son mercy?" And Napoleon responded to the lady, "Madam, he doesn't deserve mercy." And the man's mother said, "That's why he needs it. Because if he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy." God's mercy that he shows towards us when we're in trouble. Have you ever seen the mercy of God at work in your life? Has there ever been a time you found yourself in distress? Has there ever been a time you found yourself in trouble and you found the mercy of God being extended towards you? Have you ever got a bill that you couldn't pay, and somehow things worked out? Well, that wasn't God's grace. That was his mercy. Have they ever told you that they're going to turn off your electricity? I got a notice in the mail one time that they won't turn my electricity off unless I came up with $140. And we prayed, and the Lord sent somebody who was poorer than me and handed me an envelope with seven $20 bills in it for my electric bill. I didn't need grace. I was in distress. I was in need. I needed mercy. And believe me, on that day, I saw his mercy, and I knew that in my life, there was a God of mercy. The next attribute we see is faithfulness. Faithfulness. What is faithfulness? God does what he promises to do. Oh, I love this verse in Joshua chapter 21 and verse 45, speaking to the nation of Israel. The words are recorded. "Not one of the Lord's good promises to Israel failed. Everyone was fulfilled." How do I translate that into knowing God? There are many promises that God has made to me in his word. I should get to know them because he will make sure that they happen in my life. If I was to ask you today to tell me how many promises we can find in the word of God, somebody might say 100. Somebody might say 500. Somebody might say 1,000. Let me tell you how many promises. One man went through it, the whole word of God, and counted all the promises in the Word of God. Over 30,000 promises in the Word of God. And guess how many of them God has the power to make happen? Every last one of them. Every last one of them. I was reading a story about a man named Russell Herman, and he left trillions of dollars to thousands of people. And the people all began to speculate what they were going to do with the money. There was one mayor, he said that he was going to leave some money to the mayor, and the mayor began to talk about all the things he was going to do in this city. Now, there was only one problem, is that Russell Herman was a broke carpenter, and he had no money at all. And so he promised these people all this money, trillions of dollars, thousands of people, and he couldn't come good on his promise. Oh, we serve a God today that every promise that he has is true. Every promise that he makes to us, he will fulfill. Why? Because he is a faithful God. And I tell people often that God is faithful to us even when we're not faithful to him. When we have let our heart wander astray, when we have walked down paths and roads that we shouldn't go, when we have failed to spend time with God and be with him in his presence, when we have been completely unfaithful, God abides faithful. Wow. Knowing God through his attributes. Knowing that when I personally am not pleasing him, when I personally am not doing what God would have me to do, that he still abides faithful. And I love that about God. And I know that about God. And as I pursue intimacy with God, as I pursue relationship with God, I understand that even when the relationship is broken and I'm not doing all that I need to do, he's still faithful. He's still faithful. And I can be out here far from him, but in the back of my mind, I know he's still faithful. That's a truth that has been ingrained in my heart. And I hope and I pray that's a truth that will be ingrained in your heart, that God is faithful. And every promise that he made will come true. The next thing we see is the truth of God. The truth of God. God is true, and all that he says and stands for is consistent with the truth that is within him. In John 17, verse 3, it says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God." That they know you, the only true God. Because God is truth, knows the truth, and does that which is true, if I follow him, he will always lead me in the truth. He will always lead me in the truth. You know, I'm going to say something. I'm going to ask any kids in here to close your ears. All right? Any kids, just put your hands over your ears. All right? Parents lie. And somebody's going to say in here, "I don't lie. I don't lie to my kids." Now, I venture to say, when I make this comment, 95% of the people are going to fall in this category. There may be a 5% that don't, but I'm going to say 95% fall into this category. How many parents, don't raise your hand. I don't put you on the spot. How many parents in here have ever told their children there was a Santa Claus? All right? Now, I know there's about 5% that you're convicted and, you know, you wouldn't do that, so I'm not talking to you. But I venture to say 95% of the people sitting out here at some point in time told their kids that was a Santa Claus, right? I should ask y'all to raise your hand. No, But what did you just do? When you told them that, what did you do? You lied to them. As innocent as it might be, and as much as you want to have fantasy for your kids and them enjoy that, you know, let's be honest. Don't look at me like I'm crazy now. Let's be honest. You had your kids believe in a lie. So here is something that we can depend on God. The fact that God would never tell us that there's a Santa Claus. Because he's true. And it would go against it. If God told people there was a Santa Claus, it would go against the very nature of who he is. Because truth resides in him. And he can't be anything but truthful. Again, if God were able to have flesh and we were to cut him, not only would love bleed, faithfulness bleed, but truth would ooze out of his very essence. The Bible says that God cannot lie. God cannot lie. I know a whole lot of saints that lie, but God cannot lie. And when I seek him and I get to know him, I understand that truth about him, that God is not going to tell me anything that's untrue. He's not going to tell me anything that's false, because one of his attributes is truth. And then the final attribute that we want to look at today is the justice of God. And God's justice, what is that? He rewards the righteous and he punishes the wicked. Psalm 11 and verse 7, for the Lord is righteous, he loves justice. Regardless of how others treat me, God is keeping the books. If I'm doing the right things, he will look upon me favorably. And if I'm doing the wrong, if I am not doing that which is right, he will chastise me. The justice of God. See, we don't want to sometimes deal with, we want to focus on the other attributes, right? We want to focus on the love and the mercy and the grace. But when we look at the justice, that in God's very DNA is justice. And God would not be God if he could let wrong go unpunished. He would not be God anymore. So all these people that think they're sneaking and peeping and slipping and ducking and dipping, God sees you. You're not going to get away with it. God is a God of justice. And all wrongdoing must be taken care of. So let me back up a little bit and just touch real quick on the grace of God. So when I have sin, because of God's justice, God says I got to punish sin. There's no question about that. Here goes Pastor Glaze, right? And I just told a lie. All right. God, you got to be punished. Pastor Glaze, you have got to be punished. Yeah, you've been a pastor and you've been at Bethany Baptist Church going on 23 years, but you just lied and you got to be punished. So the punishment of God comes because of his what? Because of his justice. And so God throws his punishment down on me, and Jesus pushes me out of the way and takes it for me. See, my sin was still punished, but it was punished through Christ. So the wicked and the unsaved don't have that. So every idle word, every idle deed that they have done, God will bring them into account for it. And there are a multiplicity of scriptures that talk about that. There was a man who was guilty of a crime, and he got off on a technicality. And the judge knew he got off on a technicality. And the judge said this to him. He said, I know you are guilty, and you know that you are guilty. And one day you will stand before an omnipotent judge, and you will get what you deserve. See, the man thought he got away, right? He got off on the technicality. What was the judge talking about? The judge was talking about justice. I know you're guilty, and you know you're guilty. And even though you're getting off, one day you're going to stand before God, and you're going to get what you deserve. But the story didn't end there. The man was robbing a house. It's a true story. The man was robbing a house, and he was startled, and he ran out the back door, and he climbed over a nine-foot wall and jumped into the yard, and it was a prison yard. The man got what he, the judge thought that he was going to get it, you know, when he stood before God. But he actually got it before he left this earth. The attributes of God. Get to know God's attributes. Now, there are more attributes. I tried to list the most significant ones. And even theologians, they break the attributes down into many categories. And basically, the categories that I broke them down into are, they would be called the moral attributes, which would be the holiness, the love, the grace, the mercy, the faithfulness. You know, those are things that are communicable to men, things that men can share in common with God. And then there are the non-moral attributes, things that men cannot share in common with God, and that's his omnipresence, his omniscience, his omnipotence, and his immutability. You know, we can't share those with God. You know, so those are the non-moral attributes and the moral attributes. And God is perfect in every one of his moral attributes. And so as I close today, I just challenge you to get to know God through his attributes. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about get to know God through his names. You know, learn the names of God and get to know him. Now get to know God through his attributes. Father, we come to you today, and Lord, we just ask that you would take this message, and Lord, that you would use it in the hearts of each and every individual here. And Lord, that we would look at our lives and ask ourselves, do we know you? Have we made an effort to know you according to the attributes by which you have revealed yourself? And so, Lord, I pray that this would be a quest that would be a part of our lives, to get to know you through your attributes. Father, I pray that if there's someone here today that hasn't got to know you through the grace that you exhibit, Lord, that you sent your son to die on a cross for their sin. Like John Newton, he was undeserving. He was a slave trader. He was had a filthy mouth. He had a reputation for sin, and yet and still, Lord, you showed him grace, and you saved his soul. So we thank you for your grace. And there's somebody here today, Lord, that might need your grace. And we ask that if that's where they are, that as we give the invitation today, that they might come. Lord, maybe there's somebody here today that's looking for a local branch of Zion to unite with, and this is the place where you would have them. Lord, I pray that you would touch their heart today, that they would come. Well, we commit this invitation to you. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Qualifications for Intimacy with God. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Knowing God, Part 3, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Knowing God, Part 3. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Knowing God, Part 3. Or call us at 877-831-5060 When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you'd like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.